Have you been told you don't fit in? The way you live isn't right? You don't look the right way? You don't act the right way? You don't love the right people? You don't believe the right thing? Do you feel the pull of spirituality deep within you and long for a place where you can express it, but keep running into places that want to put you into a box, turn you into another member of their cookie-cutter community where everybody looks the same, everybody lives the same, everybody talks the same, everybody sits in neat little rows, and nobody asks any questions? Welcome. You found a home. Because this is the Christ and Light podcast. And at Christ and Light, we celebrate your diversity. We understand the truth that everybody and everything was created wholly good, absolutely complete and loved, and that each one of us is a bearer of God. Join us now as we discuss the implications of that in our lives, as we explore ways to live out the truth that all of us our Christ events, called to shine forth in the world.
Welcome to our Easter Christ and Light gathering. And this is from Tales of the Golden Castle. The old man was dreadfully crippled. One ankle turned backwards against itself, so he could not put the sole of his foot on the ground. His back was bent in a monstrous question mark, which necessitated his twisting his neck and looking upward in order to see the face of anyone else. He hobbled along, holding a crutch in one twisted and deformed hand, dragging his useless foot. And yet the skin of his face and hands were golden, and his white beard shone against the rich burnish of his skin. He had been to the Golden Castle, but it seems a paradox that he should represent that place of wholeness and perfect health in such a twisted and contorted body. I had asked him how it was that the Golden Castle had not healed his handicaps. He told me his story. I was born, he said, to a very poor family, and my body was twisted and deformed from the moment of my birth. Some said that my mother must have seen a dragon cross the moon on the night of my conception. Others attributed to some terrible sin of my father. There were those, I learned later, who urged my mother to expose me in some wood where there were bears, but she would not hear of it, and she and my father raised me with all the love they had to offer. Perhaps it was because of my handicaps that I seldom involved myself in the games of play of the other children. I was alone a lot, solitary, and often miserably unhappy. I spent most of my own time with my nose in any book I could get my hands on. Now I am thankful for that, because I remember the day when a book came into my hands which told of the Golden Castle. I was taken with it immediately, and I began to consume all my thoughts and my dreams. I knew that it was the Golden Castle for me. And when I read all of the disappearing wounds and the dancing of former cripples which happened there, I became all the more eager to make my pilgrimage to that great place. It had become my obsession, for I knew that once I had arrived there, my poor body would be reformed and repaired, and I would be like all the others. But I had no idea of how I could ever get to the castle in my crippled state. Finally, the day came when a traveler stopped at our gate for a drink of water. In conversation, I learned that he was a pilgrim heading for the Golden Castle, and my heart leaped on. In those days, I had a kind of wagon on which I was able to push myself much faster than I could walk, and the pilgrim had hardly filled his water skin at our well before I asked if I could accompany him on the way. He agreed, and since I was of age by then, my parents gave their blessing, and we set off. I shall not bore you with all the details of our journey, for there were many, and it was a long time before the two of us reached the beautiful gate of the Golden Castle. During our whole trip, we shared all the stories and tales we had heard about on the wonders of the Golden Castle, and I learned that more than I had ever known, and I came to love the castle itself. When we finally arrived, the sight of the castle alone made all the travels of our trip worthwhile. I remember that day and how my heart beat wildly as we called out our presence. It was not long before an old man opened the gate and greeted us. My companion explained his goal and told of our travels, and the old man nodded and passed my friend through the gate. Then he turned to me. "And what is it that you seek?" he asked in his musical voice. "I wish to come into the Golden Castle, so that my crooked body may be made straight and whole," I replied. The old man smiled and shook his head. "I am sorry," he said, "but that is insufficient reason. I have the power to offer you a choice. You may spend the night in the small guardhouse, and in the morning all your handicaps will be gone, and you will be made straight and tall and handsome, and you may go back home like a new man. Or you may enter the Golden Castle as you are, with no assurance of any change." This was an entirely new idea to me. I had always put the two ideas of being to the Golden Castle and having my body made whole. In fact, I had always assumed that being in the castle would actually bring about my healing. Now I was faced with a choice between the two. It seems that a long time that I thought, and I finally looked into the peaceful eyes of the old man and said, "I am not sure what life would be like in the world without my twisted limbs. I do not know how to live in the world without my handicaps. But I do know that my heart has sought the Golden Castle since I was a child, and it has been the greatest dream and goal of my life. So I choose the castle as a cripple." The old man placed his arms around my shoulder and ushered me through the gate. And so it is that I have been to the Golden Castle, and I know its unique joy and wonder and happiness. In truth, I scarcely think of this body anymore, and I know I made the right choice. For the Golden Castle may not heal all wounds or handicaps, but it provides a sea of joy which transforms all earthly things and transcends them. The Golden Castle offered to me journeys for my soul, which do not require a sound body. So there is no place I cannot go and nothing I cannot do. You may look at me and think that I hobble, but that is only your limited view. In fact, I am dancing all the time.
Please join me in reading the affirmation. We believe that God is present in the darkness before dawn, in the waiting and uncertainty, where fear and courage join hands, conflict and caring link arms, and the sun rises over barbed wire. We believe in a with us God, who sits down in our midst to share our humanity.
We affirm of faith that it takes us beyond the safe places
into action, into vulnerability, and into the streets.
We commit ourselves to work for change and to put ourselves on the line, to bear responsibility, take risks, live powerfully, and face humiliation, to stand with those on the edge, to choose life and be used by the Spirit for God's new community of hope.
Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. Early in the morning on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary of Magdala came to the tomb. She saw that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance, so she ran off to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and told them, "The rabbi has been taken from the tomb. We don't know where they have put Jesus." At that, Peter and the other disciples started out toward the tomb. They were running side by side, but then the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He didn't enter, but bent down to peer in and saw the linen wrappings lying on the ground. Then Simon Peter arrived and entered the tomb. He observed the linen wrappings on the ground and saw the piece of cloth that had covered Jesus' head, lying not with the wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. He saw and believed. And yet, they didn't understand the scripture that Jesus was to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. Meanwhile, Mary stood weeping beside the tomb. Even as she wept, she stooped to peer inside, and there she saw two angels in dazzling robes. One was seated at the head, and the other at the foot of the place where Jesus' body had lain, and they asked her, "Why are you weeping?" She answered them, "Because they have taken away my rabbi, and I don't know where they have put the body." No sooner had she said this than she turned around and caught sight of Jesus standing there, but she didn't know it was Jesus, and he said to her, "Why are you weeping? For whom are you looking?" She supposed it was the gardener, so she said, "Please, if you're the one who carried Jesus away, tell me, where have you laid the body, and I will take it away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned to him and said, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus then said, "Don't hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to Abba God. Rather, go to the sisters and brothers and tell them, I'm ascending to my Abba and your Abba, my God and your God." Mary of Magdala went to the disciples. "I have seen the teacher," she announced. Then she reported what the Savior had said to her.
I have not yet been resurrected.
It's always interesting to me what, and I know I say this almost every time, but what the reading from the Tales of the Golden Castle comes out to be in a random progression. And the truth is that I skipped over a reading that was probably half an hour long to use this one today. And I don't know what the one that was probably a half hour long said, but I think this one says a lot about Easter and symbols. You know, there are some children that were asked in Sunday school, "What happens on Easter?" And one little boy said, "Well, it's when we have a big turkey and give thanks for everything we have." The teacher said, "Well, no, that's Thanksgiving." And another little boy said, "Well, it's when we go and see fireworks down at the lake." And the teacher said, "Well, no, that's 4th of July." And one little girl said, "No, Easter, it comes after Jesus was resurrected and died and he was raised from the dead."
And the teacher said, "That's fantastic, Mary." And she said, "Yes." And then he goes and gives candy and colored eggs to all the good little girls and boys. So we get our symbols mixed up. And more than that, I think we look at our symbols in the ways we're used to looking at them. And so we come to days like Easter and Christmas and even the 4th of July and Thanksgiving. And in our mind, we already know what these things mean. And it's pretty easy to take a step back from it and not think about it anymore. But the truth is, as we age, we change. We have different life experiences. And I think that makes it worth going back and looking at some of these familiar stories in a new way. I think it makes it worth reconsidering what they mean for us now. And one of the things that oddly enough, on Easter, I'm led to think about is resurrection. Most people who were raised in some kind of a church environment have been taught that resurrection is something that happens after we die. It's kind of like the ultimate insurance policy. You pay into an insurance policy so that after you die, it pays out. And resurrection has been seen as something you pay into by being a good little boy or girl, not just so you get Easter eggs and chocolate bunnies on Easter, but so that you get resurrected after you die. And I don't want to challenge that. I think that's a good understanding of resurrection, but I think it's part of the story. And I think there's a problem with resurrection because we've attached to it notions like our bodies will be restored, we'll be pain-free, we'll be happy, we'll be whatever our hobby is, we'll be doing it in the best environment. You know? So if we like to play poker, we'll be in Vegas at the tournament. You know, if we like to dance, we'll be doing ballroom dancing in heaven. And that's okay, except that it says to us that there's something about how we are right now, if that thing limits us, that's wrong. Or even worse, that it's a punishment. Because when you die and get the reward, that thing gets taken away. And I think one of the interesting things about the story from the Golden Castle is that we would say that this man with the twisted leg was handicapped. And we would say most often, and certainly if he were to die and he were to go to his funeral, whoever did the funeral would say, "Oh, his legs are straight and he's walking and running and dancing." As if he had been somehow less complete because of what he couldn't do while he was alive. When I was young, lo, those many years ago, I used to think that I could do anything. I used to think, quite literally, that with the exception probably of a brick wall, there wasn't a wall that I couldn't run through or beat my way through. That there was no obstacle that was impossible for me to overcome. And I bounced off more than my share of walls and obstacles in the process of trying to prove that. But I thought if I was going to be complete, that I had to be able to do all that. If I was going to be complete, I had to be unlimited. And if I couldn't do something, then there was something about me that was defective. But there's something that all of us, or that each of us, can't do. And as the years go by, there's things that we can't do that we used to be able to do. I find it hard to get up when my grandchildren wake up. God knows I try. It's just hard. I find it harder to do a lot of things that I used to do. And I could choose to look at that as if it were some defect, some punishment. Whenever there's a catastrophe, I always hear people say, "Oh, thank God I was saved from that." Well, what does that say? God doesn't love the other people that weren't? I think we need to look at adversity and limitation as part of the journey. And that there's a kind of resurrection that occurs when we come to say to ourselves, you know, if there's something I can't do, that's okay. Because there's plenty of other things I can do. Not many of us are going to go to the Olympics. And yet I see a lot of people out jogging. They've obviously accepted that they're not going to run Olympic marathons anyway. We lose jobs. We lose houses. We lose cars. We get something and it breaks. And we can choose to look at all that as a negative. Or we can choose to look at it as an opportunity for rebirth and renewal. And I promise you how happy we are will be determined by which way we choose to look at it. Jesus is resurrected. The disciple Jesus loved, John and Peter, have a foot race to the tomb. And being men, they're very task-oriented. So they peer into the tomb, they see it's empty, and they go back home. Mary Magdalene, the woman, stays to investigate further and encounters the risen Jesus. And he says something very strange to her. He says, don't, forget what this in this translation, don't cling to me. Don't grasp me. Don't hold on to me. I haven't yet ascended to God. And I used to think there was some way that Mary Magdalene could have wrestled Jesus to the ground and kept him from ascending. But I've decided that's probably not the case. I think what he's saying to her is, you're only seeing me as I am now. And after I ascend, there will be something new. And if you can't see me through that transition, you'll miss the point. If you can't see Jesus becoming Christ, you'll sort of miss the point. If you can't see how you are now, and how you will be later, it's just the continuation of a process of growth and resurrection and renewal that happens in small ways every day. Every time a child is born. Every time they finally go to school. Every time we're confronted with adversity and they get through it. Resurrection is really ours for the asking and ours for the taking. But we have to decide we want it.
Spirit of truth, known by many names, we raise up this day our cares and our concerns, our joys and our blessings, and our hopes for the future, knowing that in you all of our dreams are fulfilled. We pray for peace, peace between nations and peace between people. Give us strength and wisdom to change our view of ourselves and our world so that we might recognize that all people are your people, O God, worthy of our respect and our love. We pray for the poor, the sick, the hungry, the destitute, the oppressed, for those in prison and for the victims of crime and violence. Help us to bring the true justice that only love can bring into the lives of all people. We pray for all who seek the God of their understanding or a deeper knowledge of their own divinity. We pray that the hatred and animosity that exists between people of different faiths will be healed in the truth, that there are many different paths that lead to truth. We acknowledge that it is only in our minds that there is a separation between divinity and any part of creation. Help us to see the reality that all people are connected to and loved by God. We pray for those whom we love and who live in spirit but are no longer visible to us. We entrust them to your care, secure in the knowledge that we live with them now in the communion of your saints. We pray these things knowing that in asking we receive and trusting in our ability to access our inner divinity and work for their fulfillment. Amen.
We have each month this gathering a contemplative Eucharist, which is more laid back and less formal than some things we do at other times. It just affords us an opportunity to ponder what this act means to us. So we'll take a moment of silence, then I'll begin. I invite you to come forward then when I finish the prayer over the elements to receive as you would like. In the wider mouth cup there is juice. In the taller cup there is wine. Spirit of God, on this Easter day, we remember the resurrection of Jesus and look for our resurrections on a daily basis. We recognize that the things we believe to be limitations are in fact gifts, and that the things that we can't do make us no less whole for the fact that we can't do them. We know that your Spirit exists in all places and all times, and so we acknowledge that it is present here in these elements of bread and wine and juice, and that it moves through them to make this for us the memorial of that meal that Jesus instituted some 2,000 years ago, and that we remembered the institution of just 4 days ago. With that meal, he gathered with his friends, as we have gathered with our friends in the 2,000 years since, becoming one through the sharing of food, that basic human instinct, that basic human gesture of hospitality. And at that meal, he took bread, and he offered it to his friends, and he said, "Take and eat, this is my body, which will be given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper had ended, he took the cup, and he gave it to them and said, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it. This is my blood of the new covenant, shed for you and for all, for the forgiveness of sins." And as we take it, and as we eat it, and as we drink it, we remember those who mean so much to us, those who are here now, those who live but we see no more, those who have formed us into the people who we are. Strengths and weaknesses, beautiful all in our own way. And we remember that our resurrections happen every moment of every day. Thank you. Before I give the benediction, I just call your attention to announcements on the back page of the sheet and tell you about one that I didn't put on there because I'm a lousy secretary. Next Sunday in room 403 of this building at 1 o'clock, we'll have a non-sectarian meditation class. We'll invite you to come to that. And what's missing is on April 22nd at 10 a.m.
No, we're not going to have it this month.
Never mind. I guess I'm a better secretary than I thought.
Instead, I will be preaching at Tippecanoe New Presbyterian Church on that Sunday, the 22nd.
At what time?
I believe that one is only 9:30. The following Sunday, the 29th, I'll be preaching at Unitarian Universalist Church in Brookfield at, like, I think, 9:30.
Tippecanoe is 125 West Dagland. It's a block west of Howell and about a block north of Howard. Unitarian Universalist West is 126th and North Avenue, more or less, on the south side of the street. I know what I spent more time in my wasted youth driving around the city meeting sick as sick out. The next month, on May 6th, we'll be meeting here for this gathering. Our topic will be developing spiritual practice. And on the 20th, the meditation class will occur again.
Now, is the meditation class two parts, or do they stand on their own?
They stand on their own. You can come and go at any time to any of the meditation sessions.
Good to know.
And where is this room?
Fourth floor of this building.
Oh, yeah.
This building...
L403?
Yeah, well, this building is the Lord's building, and that's the that's Rosary Hall, so these are L numbers, and those are R numbers, although on the doors there's never an L or an R.
And it doesn't really matter because the street addresses are completely different.
Yeah, the street addresses are different, but people still get confused. So...
And there is no elevator, so be prepared to walk up.
Yeah, it's two flights above this flight. This room. This is the second floor we're on, even though it doesn't seem like it should be. Now go forth into the world in peace. Be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Honor all people. Love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of the Spirit.
Thank you for joining us for this Christ and Light program. We're glad you decided to join us. Christ and Light offers a variety of programming and teachings available throughout the week. The Christ and Light podcast uploads weekly, usually on Monday mornings, and discusses a contemporary spiritual issue or teaching from a Christ and Light perspective. Christ and Light has a program on Blog Talk Radio on Wednesday mornings and Sunday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific. On Wednesdays, our program looks at spiritual issues with a sense of humor, even when those issues are extremely serious. On Sunday mornings, we offer a weekly Sunday morning message based on a Christ and Light interpretation of the Revised Common Lectionary Scripture readings for that day. All of our internet programming is available at no cost to you. To learn more, visit our ChristandLight.org website or access the podcast and the Blog Talk Radio program at no charge to you on iTunes. We also write an engaged spirituality blog, which is available on the ChristandLight.org website. We blog Monday through Friday, and also on each morning, we upload a spiritual teaching for the day, 7 days a week. There is a Christ and Light gathering in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. To learn more about that gathering, visit the Christ and Light website. This program is copyright 2011 and 2012 by the Ecumenical Franciscans of the Renewal. All rights are reserved. For permission to reprint or use audio from this program, please write christandlight@gmail.com. We thank you for joining us today. I'm your host, Bishop Craig Berglund. I wish you God's rich blessings. Namaste.